This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
You are listening to Lesson 8 of
Tafsir Surah Shura by Shaykh Dr. Haytham Al-Haddad Hafizahullah.
Brought to you by Islam21seed.com. Articulating Islam in the 21st century.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Amma ba'd. Dear respected brothers and sisters, this is the tafsir of Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42. And we said that this is one of the, subhanallah, unique surahs, and every surah is unique. Here I would like to mention something that Sayyid Qutb rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned, which is unique. He said, if you read the Quran, and one of the miracles of the Quran, that if you dwell into any surah and you live in the atmosphere of that surah, you feel that if that surah has its own personality. Yeah, شخصيه surah. Okay, has its own personality. And that's why I remember one of the Huffaz, he said, just by, if you read the ayat that are similar, al-ayat al-mutashabiha, yes, just if you read one of the ayat that is repeated in different surahs, but if you remember which surah this ayah comes from, just by living in the atmosphere of that surah, you will read the correct ayah that comes after that, and you will not mix it with the other ayah from the other surah. Is it clear? You will figure which ayah, yeah, and which comes before and which comes after, based on what? Based on the personality of the surah. Subhanallah. And this is one of the miracles of the Quran. And Sayyid Qutb, I don't know if anyone came up with this idea before him, but that is true. If you read, yes, if you read in different surahs in the Quran, you feel that there is a surah that when you read it, it just attracts you, and it makes you ready for something. Yeah. There is another surah that if you read it, okay, it is a bit relaxed. Yeah, it talks about certain rulings and guidelines and so on. And as a proof for that, read the Makki surahs and read and compare them to the Madani surahs. Yeah, اقتربت الساعة وانشق القمر وإن يروا آية يعرضوا ويقولوا سحر مستمر وكذبوا واتبعوا أهواءهم وكل أمر مستقر ولقد جاءهم من الأنباء ما فيه مزدجر حكمة بالغة. Yes, you feel that there is something about this surah. قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج. That is different from reading يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود أحلت لكم بهيمة الأنعام إلا ما يتلى عليكم. Yeah, that is different. Or that is different from, for example, from when Allah Jalla wa'ala speaks in Surah Al-Baqarah about the rulings of talaq. الطلاق مرتان فإمساكم بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. You see that the style, the whole style is different. This is the shakhsiyah of the surah. And subhanallah, the more you dwell and you live with the Quran, the more you feel this. And the more the person who is away from the Quran does not feel that. Yeah? And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned something that is really unique. He said in qawlihi ta'ala la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. Yeah? No one touches the Quran except what? Al-mutahharun, the purified. He said biqadri taharatika wa taharati biqadri taharati qalbika min al-Quran yamassu القرآن قلبك ويمس قلبك القرآن. Okay, the level of your the level of the purity of your heart, yeah, reflect the level of the attachment between the Quran and your heart. It reflects the level of the attachment of what, of how much your heart touches the Quran. Yeah? And this surah, subhanAllah, has its own personality. We said that there are a number of unique qualities about this surah. Just from the beginning, Hamim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. This is something unique. There is no surah that has the same these letters. Hamim, Ayn, Sin, Qaf. Okay? And we said that even the topic of this surah is quite unique, because the topic, as we have confirmed, or as we mentioned, maybe someone might disagree with this, because this is a matter of reflection. We said that this surah is talking about how the Muslim community can live together, can establish themselves as a community, as a society, maybe as a country. Okay? If the word country is correct. Okay, as a society. Yes? How they govern their ikhtilafat, their differences. That's why we see in this surah a lot of kalam, a lot of discussion about what? Differences. Yes? And these are, these ayat that we are talking about these today, okay, confirm that. And we find that this ayat as well, or the surah, talks a lot about wahi, revelation. And this surah also talks about what? Shura, forgiveness, pardoning, and so on. What is shura, forgiveness, and pardoning? These are essential qualities and requirements for any people to live together. How can they live together? They need forgiveness. Yes, they need to forgive each other. How can they govern themselves? They need the wahi, but they also need what? Ash-shura. Because Allah Jalla wa Ala, He put certain things in a way that the wahi has given you what? Some flexibility. Okay, and we'll come to this point. The wahi, the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah gave you some flexibility, gave the Muslim community some flexibility. If that flexibility and the variety of opinion or diversity of opinion is there, then how is the Muslim community or how is the society going to what? Resolve these differences? By shura. And this is one of the main topics of the okay, of the surah. Although it was mentioned indirectly, yeah, it was mentioned indirectly, but because it is, the name of the surah is shura, moreover, the shura itself was not mentioned that much in the Quran, so it, and it is mentioned here, and along with surah Ali Imran, as we have said previously, okay, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. It means that as if this concept characterizes this surah. Yes? Does that make sense? Yes or no? Because if there is something that is always mentioned, you will not pay much attention to it. But if something that is mentioned only in this surah, in this chapter, in this book, then you will see that, well, I need to pay more attention to this, because it means that this book A or this chapter is what? Is unique. Or this issue that is mentioned in this book is quite unique, or it characterizes the book or the chapter. And this is the concept of surah that is mentioned here, and inshallah we'll talk about it. In the beginning of this surah, we said that the first six ayat, Allah Jalla wa Ala was praising himself through what? Through praising the wahi that he revealed. حَامِمْ عَيْنْ سِينْ قَافْ كَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهِ. Allah is the one who reveals the wahi to you and the wahi to all previous prophets. Who is Allah? Al-Aziz al-Hakim. And then Allah Jalla Ala started to praise, or continued to praise himself more and more. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything, the keys of everything on the, in this universe belongs to who? To no one but Allah Jalla Ala. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And then Allah Jalla Ala could continued to praise himself. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. Yeah, the heavens and the earth is about to crumble, or is about to rent asunder from above them, out of the U of Allah Jalla Ala. The first six ayat, Allah Jalla Ala was praising himself. Among the things that he mentioned to praise himself, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِ. The malaika, the angels, have nothing but to what? To glorify Allah Jalla wa'ala. This is their job. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Okay, so the first six ayat, Allah Jalla wa'ala was praising himself, or is praising himself. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَى وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. Allah Jalla wa Ala started to speak about the concept of wahi. And we said that this, the wahi, revelation, is mentioned heavily, frequently in this surah. Allah Jalla wa Ala mentioned that he revealed the Quran in Arabic in order to warn Umm al-Qura, which is the main city in the whole world, and all the cities around Umm al-Qura, and this shows the universality of the Quran, of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of al-Islam. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala introduced a very important concept. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. Allah Jalla wa Ala could have made the entire humanity as one nation. إما, as Ibn, one of the Salaf said, إما على الكفر سواء or على الإيمان سواء. ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة. Allah Jalla wa Ala doesn't want people to be one nation. Allah Jalla wa Ala wants people to be divided into believers and disbelievers. هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن. And this is another ayah that confirms this. And then Allah Jalla Ala said, أَمِ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْوَلِيُّ. Why do people disbelieve? Have they taken friends, companions, people whom they go to, yes, in order to support them, in order to help them? They are very close to them. Have they taken those people, yes, as supporters, as very intimate people to them? And they did not take Allah, yes, and He is the Wali, and He is the one who gives life after death. وَهُوَ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. And He is the one who overpowers everything, he's able to do anything, Jalla wa Ala. How come? Rational argument. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala, and this is the ayah that we are explaining now, said, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And whatsoever you, and in whatsoever you differ, the decision thereof is with Allah. Okay. The meaning of this ayah generally, okay, the general meaning of this ayah is clear. In whatsoever you differ, refer it to Allah. فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي. Why the hukum of that matter, yes, belongs to Allah? Because Allah is my Lord. Because Allah is my Lord. If Allah is my Lord, do you expect me to refer any matter of disagreement or anything that I'm thinking of or anything that I want to know its rule? Yeah? Or its ruling, do you want me to refer it to someone who is not my Lord? It doesn't make sense. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي. Not only that, but عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. He is the one that I put my trust in. Yes, I put my trust in Allah. So obviously, I will take everything from Allah. I will rely on Allah. عليه توكلت. Not only that, وإليه أنيب. I go back to him in all circumstances. So obviously, the hukum of any matter, the ruling, the decision, should belong to Allah جل وعلا. Okay, this is the general meaning of the ayah. But some details about the ayah. Allah جل وعلا says, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ. He is addressing who? وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ. Antum. Yeah? As we said, I don't know whether we said this or not, but anyway, we said that some scholars said, Allah Jalla wa'ala is saying that, oh, you believe, talk to the disbelievers and tell them that if we differ, us and you, okay, or you and us, in a matter, then we refer it to Allah. This is one possible meaning. Another meaning, which may be more correct, is what Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned in the other ayah. وَإِن تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ on any matter, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Which means that this khitab is, or this is addressing who? The believers. There is no much difference really between addressing everyone, yeah, or addressing the believers. The conclusion is, whatever we differ on, then, yeah, its decision is with Allah. Allah is the one who decides on it. Okay? طيب. Here, as we said last time, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. This style in Arabic language, min shay. طيب. وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ. Yes. مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ. مِنْ شَيْء. Yeah. مِنْ شَيْء. What does it mean, مِنْ شَيْء? Min shay means tasghir, even if it is what? A very small, tiny thing. If you differ over a small, tiny thing, even if you differ on a small, tiny thing, then what? Refer it to Allah and His Messenger. طيب. Last time we had a question, a very important question, which I wanted to address anyway, which is, if we differ on matters related to what? related to dunya? Do we refer the matter to Allah and His Messenger? And we gave an example. Yeah, maybe not suitable example, but we mentioned it anyway. Okay. What is better, iPhone or Samsung? Do we refer it to Allah and His Messenger? Yeah? Okay. We will come to that, but let me just mention something here. Okay. Before I forget. Allah Jalla Ala says, فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We said, فَحُكْمُهُ. He did not say, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. But this is an implicit meaning. The explicit meaning, the ruling or the decision belongs to Allah. Obviously, it means if the decision belongs to Allah, then refer it to Allah Jalla wa Ala. Yeah? That's why, because of this يعني, style, some scholars said, if whenever, يعني, they said in the tafsir of this ayah, they said, if you differ on something or in something or over something, then say Allahu A'lam. Yeah, we say Allahu A'lam, but sometimes we know the ruling. Okay? They said out of respect for this, just to implement this, that as Allah Jalla wa Ala says, فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, so say Allahu A'lam, out of respect. Anyway, it's not a big issue. طيب, but the meaning is clear, whether the explicit or the implicit. Is it clear? Yes or no? طيب. Okay. Now let us go back to this issue. وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. طيب. مِنْ شَيْءٍ, as we said, it includes everything, even if it is a small or tiny. Now, does that include anything we differ on, even matters related to dunya? Some scholars said, no, here it means, okay, as if it means, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, in matters related to Islam. Yeah? And this is known from the context. Some other scholars said, no, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, it what? It includes everything we differ on. طيب, the decision belongs to Allah. Yes, the decision belongs to Allah. Okay. The decision belongs to Allah. Maybe, as some scholars said, maybe you don't know it. The decision belongs to Allah. So what is better? Yeah? Samsung or iPhone? In reality, Allah Jalla wa Ala knows what is better completely. Yeah? From all angles, Allah Jalla wa Ala, He knows. طيب. Yeah? And Allah Jalla wa Ala is the one who decided that the people who manufacture this, yeah, they do it in a particular way, and the people who manufacture that, they do it in a particular way, so this one is better than that one. Is it clear? Yeah? This is a possibility. This is a possibility. The other possibility, which may be more viable, okay, is that Allah Jalla wa Ala says, whenever you differ over something, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger. And Allah Jalla wa Ala Himself, He is the one who commanded us to what? قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Yes? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, yes, جَنَّاتٍ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ. And Allah Jalla wa Ala, who says, وَمِنَ النَّخْلِ صِنْوَانٌ وَغَيْرُ صِنْوَانٍ. Allah Jalla wa Ala is the one who commanded us to what? To ponder here and there, and to travel here and there, to what? To reflect and to discover the universe, the science of the universe. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Look at the camels, how they were created. Someone might look, No, nothing strange about the camels. No, but if you reflect and look deeply, you will see that there are some strange things about the camel. For example, Allah Jalla Ala says, yeah, look deeply. There is something that will make you reflect and ponder, which means that what is known as al-ilm al-tajribi, yani reflection and taking lessons from what you reflect over, okay? Science is something that is encouraged by Sharia, is something encouraged by Islam. Is it clear or not clear? Yeah? طيب. Otherwise, Allah Jalla Ala wouldn't say, go and travel. Allah Jalla Ala wouldn't say, look at this and that. Allah Jalla Ala wouldn't describe how the fetus is developed in the womb of the child. Allah Jalla Ala wouldn't say, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And there are signs in your creation. Don't you think, don't you see? So Allah Jalla Ala wants us to discover, yeah, the universe. Allah Jalla Ala wants us to know about the science of the universe. Why? First of all, because it leads to Him. Yeah? It leads to Him. If you reflect upon the creation of heavens, earth, etc., okay, that will lead to Him. Of course, it is in your fitrah to believe in Allah Jalla wa Ala. But when you see, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that will confirm, will strengthen the iman in your heart. That will what? That will show you the greatness of Allah Jalla wa Ala. That will also show you the perfection of Allah Jalla wa Ala, that He is the perfect one. And no one is perfect but Him. Yeah? So therefore, when you... Okay, so this is the first condition. The second condition for science is that you do it as far as this science is helpful for human beings. Yeah? As far as this science is helpful for human beings. Okay? So Allah Jalla wa Ala, that's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says that He created everything on earth for us. خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. For you, for us. Okay? And Allah Jalla Ala says, أَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ ثَمَرَاتٍ. He is the one who sent water for you. And He is the one who created these crops for you. Everything is for us. So as far as we use science in order to benefit, then it is praiseworthy. Okay? And when we use science, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, these scientific theories or conclusions that you come up with, I left it for you. You discover it, you decide. Science led you to manufacture something called iPhone. Science led you to manufacture something called Samsung. Yes, use it. What is better? You decide. Is it clear? So the decision in general belongs to what? To who? To Allah Jalla Ala. Yeah? And Allah Jalla Ala empowered us to decide on many matters related to dunya. Is that clear? Yeah? So He is the one who what? Empowered us. Because He is the one who empowered us, in reality, the hukum belongs to who? To whom? To Him. Is that clear? Yeah? This is real empowerment. So this is the meaning of this ayah. Does that make sense? Is it clear? Yes or no? Everyone? طيب? Okay. So, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. طيب, here the ayah did not say إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The other ayah, وَإِنْ تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Yeah? Here the ayah did not say والرسول or was رسولي. Yeah, sometimes this, sometimes that. It doesn't mean that you take it from the Quran only. And you don't take it from Sunnah. Because the other ayah said Quran and Sunnah. Clear? Yeah? And other ayat said Sunnah only. Agree? وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. This is Sunnah only. So sometimes Sunnah only, sometimes Quran only, sometimes both. We should not take this ayat that talk about Sunnah and neglect Quran, or take those ayat that talk about Quran and neglect Sunnah. No, both. That's why I said, you know, the epistemology of the ahkam from the Quran, when you want to take the ahkam from the Quran, you need to what? To have what? A survey. You need to read the entire Quran in order to come up with conclusions. Otherwise, you will miss out so many things. Yeah? فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Someone said, look, we go back to Allah. We don't go back to the Sunnah. Yeah? No. Okay. That is clear, inshallah. طيب. Why do we go back? Why the hukum belongs to Allah? As we said, because Allah Rabbi. As simple as this. Allah is my Lord. Do you think that I would refer it to someone else? Allah is my Lord. This means, my dear brothers, yeah, that if you believe in Allah as the Lord, yeah, which we or some people might call it Tawheedu, what? Ar-Rububiyyah. This entails what? Tawheedu that some people call Tawheedu al-Hakimiyyah. Yeah? That legislation or sovereignty belongs to who? To Allah Jalla wa'ala. Clear? I refer any matter to Allah. He is the ruler. He decides. He judges. Jalla wa'ala. Why? Because he is my Lord. Why? Because of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Is that clear? Or someone might say Tawheed al-Rububiyyah includes Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, yani unifying the lordship of Allah Jalla wa'ala, that there is no Lord in the world except who? Except Allah Jalla wa'ala. This entails that what? You confirm that He is the only Hakim. This entails Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah. Now, some people, the word Tawheed al-Hakimiyyah makes them angry and makes them yani jump. Okay? طيب. No. Tawheed is of three types. Rububiyya, uluhiyya, asma, wa sifat. Yeah? Okay. It is a matter of technicality. Some people even will jump if they hear that there is Tawheed, Rububiyya, uluhiyya, and asma, wa sifat. This classification, take it easy. طيب. You don't need to jump. Whether it is classified into three types or one type or whatever. But the key thing is not the classification. The key thing is what? The meaning. Yeah? العبرة طيب بالمعاني لا بالألفاظ والمباني. العبرة is بالمعاني. The key thing is Allah is the one who judges in everything. Sovereignty belongs to Allah. Allah is the ruler. As He is what? The supreme being. He is my Lord. Okay? This is clear in the ayah. And here I would like to say that, brothers, you know, anyway, I was going to mention it after a while. We have this tendency of disagreement, طيب, of fighting. I'm writing an article in Arabic. I don't know whether I mentioned that or not. called Al-Qabiliyatu Lin-Niza'. Malik ibn Nabi, he is Algerian or Tunisian thinker, he came up with a theory called Al-Qabiliyatu Lil-Isti'bad. Yeah? Al-Qabiliyatu Lil-Isti'bad, and he was, يعني, when he talked about it, anyway, and many people are talking about it, that the Ummah now, okay, the Ummah now, in fact, he came up with this theory maybe 30, 40 years ago, or maybe more than that, I don't really remember, okay, exactly, before these things that happened to the Ummah now, or before the awakening, what is called the awakening. At that time, yani the Ummah were just coming out of colonialism. And he said that as if the Ummah, as if our Ummah has acceptability to be enslaved. This is Al-Qabiliyatu Lil-Isti'bad. They are, yani, pro-enslavement. Yeah, acceptability, is this the best way to describe it? Acceptability of something, that you are ready to do that. You have disposition.
Liable, compatible.
Not compatible, no.
Liable, accommodating.
Accommodating, yeah, but yani, okay. Potential, no, not nature, potential maybe. Potential acceptability, ready, okay, to be enslaved. What does that, ready to be enslaved? Yani, you are ready for someone to enslave you. You don't mind. Okay? Now, whether that's why some people say disagree, they say to him that you went too much. Okay? No, the Ummah will never be like this. Okay? We are not discussing his theory, but we are discussing my theory. My theory is talking about what? The acceptability of what? Of disunity. Yeah? The acceptability of disunity. Yani, we are ready to fight among ourselves. طيب. And I was going to talk about it when Allah جل وعلا, يعني, commenting on وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We are ready to fight. يعني, just I'm waiting for you to make any minor mistake in order to make it a big mistake, and I make a big hoo-ha about it. And I enjoy that you made a mistake in order to prove that I am on the haqq. Yeah? And I don't mind in being ready, Allah. We can fight. Is that true or not? Do we have this acceptability or not? Yes or no? Yeah? If you realign, yes, we align, no. Little bit front. No, ya akhi, little bit back. No. Wallahi al-azim, wallahi, when I was an imam, there was a brother. Every time when I say stow, I look at him, I say, Allahu al-musta'an. Now we will have a story. Yeah? No, to the front, to the. He said, no, you should line based on your chest, not based on your feet. Every time he said, who said, this is bid'ah? And sometimes he said, ya imam, line the saf behind you. Subhanallah. Praying, standing before Allah Jalla wa'ala. Yeah? Lining, and we differ. Now, I am not that person who like, you know, to condemn what is, yani, and our ummah just weep and cry. I don't like this, yani, this an-na'iha attitude. An-na'iha, yani, the lady that cries after the death of one of her relatives. And this is a very bad attitude, okay? But really, this is a disease that we need to get rid of it. Yeah? Maybe I am telling you that I myself, I was born in that period. Yeah? And were raised up, hadith sahih, da'if, bid'ah, sunnah, yalla! Okay? Ready to fight. Okay, it was built in our blood. It was given to us with the food. Seriously. So our bodies are nurtured, nourished on that. This is wrong. You are young people, you have to get rid of that problem. And it is upon the teachers, the shuyukh, etc., okay, as the ummah has been raised up in that, on that period, on this acceptability to fight, they should be what? They should teach their students, nurture their students, and the people around them, what? To the acceptability of unity. Yes, yeah, brothers? Because, wallahi, this is the biggest problem we are facing. Ikhtilaf. The biggest problem the ummah is facing now is not the external enemy. Yeah? No. The ummah will continue whether there are enemies or not enemies. Whether, وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَقْطَارِهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I ask Allah jalla ala for three things. He gave me two, and he said, no, not the third one. I ask Allah Jalla Ala that the ummah will not vanish because of a disease or because of a calamity, as other umam nations have vanished. Yeah? The ummah will not vanish because of any kind of disease or illness or famine. Yeah? So-called natural disaster. Will never vanish. Okay? Because of that. And I ask Allah Jalla Ala that the ummah will not vanish because of an external what? Enemy. Allah Jalla Ala said, take it, Ya Muhammad. And I asked Allah Jalla Ala an la yaj'ala ba'saha baynaha. That Allah Jalla Ala does not. Let the ummah be disunited and fight among themselves. And Allah Jalla Ala said, no, Ya Muhammad. Yeah, I do not guarantee this to you. It doesn't mean that the ummah will never be united, but it is not a guarantee from Allah Jalla Ala that it is not a guarantee. It can happen, it cannot happen. Yes, yeah, brothers? So this is a test. This is, wallahi, the biggest test we are facing, our disunity. And nothing kills us. The first reason for our weakness is disunity. Please shout loudly to the whole world, to the whole Muslim ummah. The biggest reason for our weakness is our disunity. As simple as this. A simple example, and a very sad example, very sad example. When I came to know about it, I was reluctant to disclose it, yeah? But now it is disclosed. A few months ago, up to 2 months ago, when Muslims were defending Aleppo, the Mujahideen groups, yeah, I mentioned this or not? I don't know whether I mentioned this, okay, last time. The Mujahideen groups, they were under siege by the Rafidi militias, by Iran. And the airstrikes are what? Killing them, slaughtering them, mass killing them, yeah? Shedding their blood in the streets. They say one of the three cities that have been destroyed, okay, in the modern days, and a destruction that has never been known in history. Berlin in the Second World War, Grozny in Chechnya, and Aleppo. Yes? And the groups, while they are in that horrible situation, and they are surrounded by their enemies who are willing to rape them, they were fighting among themselves. If they are not united in that circumstance, when are they going to be united? If the ummah do not unite in such circumstance, when is the ummah going to be united? And all these mujahideen, they are Ahl-Sunnah. No Shia among them. No Rafida among them. No Khawarij. No Mu'tazila. Yeah? They are generally speaking Ahl al-Qibla. And they were fighting among themselves. And all of them, I am sure, all of them, yeah, when they want to write a declaration about something, they will start the declaration with قال الله جل وعلا واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. All of them start their declarations by what? واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. Or ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم. Yes? But what about what is happening between you? My dear brothers and sisters, we really need to, yes, start maybe a revolution among ourselves to enforce the acceptability of unity. Yes, among ourselves. And even whoever Sheikh says to you, this is bad, that is bad, that is bad, that is bad. If it is just an academic opinion, okay. But if it goes beyond that, say to him, you are my sheikh, but I will not accept this from you. Fear Allah. اتق الله. Okay. That disease that you have, you are passing it to me. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we really need a revival for the ummah. The way I look at the ummah, as if there is a tree, look at a tree with what? With so many branches. From the trunk of the tree, millions of branches and sleeves and leaves came out. Okay? From one trunk. For the ummah to go back to its legacy and bring back its legacy, the trunk has to what? Be re-established again. How are we going to do with those branches and leaves and to bring them back to become one trunk? This is the biggest challenge we are facing. Otherwise, wallahi, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, طيب, لا يهزم 12,000 من قلة. Our ummah, if there are 12,000 mujahid, they will not be defeated in any battle. Because of what? Because the number is few. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu in any battlefield, if there are 12,000 Muslim soldiers, if they are defeated, look, and you will see that, no, they were not defeated because their number was few, was little. You will see that they were defeated because of other reason, either sins or disunity. And mainly disunity. Even small sins, Allah Jalla wa'ala, out of His rahmah, in front of the big enemy, Allah Jalla wa'ala forgives those sins because all of us make small sins, even the Sahaba. Minor sins were committed. That's not right. But not major sins, not open sins. Yeah? And the key thing, not disunity. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ طيب on the day of Hunayn, أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. You were what? يعني proud, boasting over your number. Otherwise, you wouldn't be what? Defeated. Look at history. You will be amazed. You will be amazed. In the Battle of Al-Yarmouk, yes, the enemies of Muslims, some scholars said, yeah, the Muslims were 20,000. Some of the maximum number that was mentioned about the number of Muslims is what? 20,000. And then a minimum number mentioned by the historians about the Romans was what? 120,000. Now tell me how on earth 20,000 will defeat 120,000. And that time they were not using automatic guns. You say, from the back, just will kill them. But no, sword to sword, man to man. And they defeated them. Okay? And even Abdul Karim al-Khattabi, in one of the battles, he lived in the beginning of the 20th century. طيب, in one of the battles in Morocco, طيب, he was with the Mujahideen, maybe 20,000, and the Spanish at that time, they were 100,000+. They said this is one of the few battles that were the one party is completely destroyed. Okay, and I will, inshallah, mention the details of that battle one time, inshallah. So don't ever think that the Ummah is really weak. Our main weakness is disunity. And that's why we need to get rid of that disease. And we all need to work hard to get rid of that disease, the disease of disunity. And of course, it takes a lot of work from all of us. Every single one of us should work together, subhanAllah, towards the unity of the Ummah. Of course, there are a number of things that we can do. Okay, maybe I'll speak about them maybe another time through when we speak about differences in the surah later. طيب. Okay, but this is a comment I want to mention about disunity. Yes, before I leave this ayah, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah decreed that we will differ. Allah decreed that we will differ. وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ. He is the one, he said, if you differ, then do this. So he knows that we will differ. He decreed that we will differ. طيب. Okay, we'll summarize that point, okay, before we leave. Is differing, among ourselves, is it a good sign, bad sign? Is it a good thing, bad thing? Is it shar or khair? The existence of differences among ourselves, and as the scholar said differences, the existence of differences between scholars. Is it a good thing, bad thing? What is it? What do you think? Is it a good thing, bad thing?
Depends.
It can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing.
It's how you deal with them which defines whether it's good or bad.
It is how you deal with them. Yes.
If they differ and they don't cause problems and they respect each other's views, then it's okay. But if the difference causes the followers of them to argue and fight amongst each other, then it's a bad thing.
Yes.
You try to bring an answer.
Huh?
You try to bring an answer about that.
You Googled it.
They asked him, they were saying to him that going to the guidance of the Prophet for all our affairs is a good thing. But hearing from the Mashayis who are Mukhalifin, that they are saying or actually confirming the contradiction. Or these differences or flexibility to the Ummah is good. And they want an answer from him, an explanation. Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah, he answers, it comes in two angles. The first this hadith is not authentic. In fact, it is false and without foundation.
Allama Suki rahimahullah. طيب, and the second angle?
And the second angle is, secondly, this hadith contradicts the glorious Quran, for the ayah forbidding division in the deen and the joint unity are too well known to need to remind them. However, this is no harm in dealing some of them by the way of example. And it is the three ayah from the Quran. And the first ayah is, and do not fall in dispute, lest you lose heart and your power.
ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا. طيب.
And the second ayah is, do not be among those who join deity with Allah, those who split up their deen
yeah.
and become secular.
Clear.
Each party with what they have.
Okay. طيب. Okay. Okay. See, traditionally it has been known, yeah, not traditionally, yani in recent times, it has been known that differences are, the existence of differences are not good. Yeah? Because Allah Jalla wa Ala commanded us to what? وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. They say clearly, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And this be, don't be disunited. And the ayat that were okay, read. وَلَا تَنَزَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Yeah? So this what has been yani promoted. But if you look at what the Salaf have said about differences, okay, you will see that the Salaf, many of them, praise differences. For example, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz, he was a mujaddid, and he was a scholar of fiqh, yeah? And he was Khalifa, the fifth rightly guided caliph. He said that, I don't prefer to have red camels over having, or the existence of the differences between the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani I prefer the differences over having what? Red camels. Red camels, yani, they're the most prestigious yani property that you can own. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, as-Siddiq, one of the fuqaha sab'a, he said, اختلاف أصحابي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمة. The difference between the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is رحمة. Harun al-Rashid, during the time of Imam Malik, when he said, when Imam Malik brought al-Muwatta, he wrote al-Muwatta and he brought it to him and he said, oh Allah, this is a very good. Listen, we will write copies of that book and send it to every corner of our yani khalafa and command people to follow it, not to follow any other book. Yeah? Imam Malik said, no. The Sahaba differed on many things and the Muslims differed on many things. Their differences, okay, the differences can be good. Don't do that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. لعل في الاختلاف توسع عليهم. In these differences, there is توسع, there is, yani it gives them flexibility. Ismail al-Qadi, when he authored the book, he gave it to, I think, Imam Ahmad, and he said, okay, this is كتاب الخلاف, or كتاب الاختلاف. He said, call it كتاب الرحمة. Yeah. شاولي والله الدهلوي, I think he wrote his book اختلاف طيب رحمة الأمة في اختلاف رحمة الأمة في اختلاف الأئمة. The رحمة of the Ummah through the differences between the أئمة. So how come the اختلاف is رحمة? This اختلاف may be brothers, ancestors, it translated wrongly. It should be, yeah, translated as diversity. So the diversity of the opinions of these scholars is a source of what? Richness for the deen. And that's why it is a source of mercy. Yeah? Is that clear? طيب. Subhanallah, we mentioned before that Allah Jalla wa Ala what created us. طيب ومن الجبال جدد بيض مختلف ألوانها وغرابي بسود ومن الناس والدواب. Everything is مختلف 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 ألوانه كذلك. Yeah, we mentioned that Allah جل وعلا created us in different abilities, different colors, different, different, different. So it is impossible that we will not differ. And it is impossible that the deen comes with no flexibility to accommodate all these differences. Yeah? Out of the rahmah and the flexibility of this deen and the dynamic of this deen is wide enough to accommodate everyone. And that's why these differences are sources of rahmah. Yeah? Not only that, as we said, that Allah Jalla wa'ala commanded us to go and reflect and travel and look at the camels, look at the creation, the heavens, etc., in order to what? To extract lessons, to explore science. Yeah? How can we do that if our minds are built on a restricted mode? Cannot think beyond the box. They were boxed or tunneled. That is impossible. So that's why Allah Jalla wa'ala, yes, and the strongest proof for that, Allah Jalla wa'ala Allah Jalla wa'ala revealed number of verses in a way that you cannot confirm that this is the only correct opinion. Allah Jalla wa'ala revealed them. He chose certain words. He could have chosen other words. But Allah Jalla wa'ala, it chose these, so maybe you can call them ambiguous terms or words in order for the ummah to differ in explaining or interpreting those words. Yeah? The simple example that is well known. طيب وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Yeah? Divorcees should wait for 3 قروء. قروء, what is قروء? It is not a well-known Arabic word. Why Allah Jalla Ala brought that word? Because Allah Jalla Ala knows that we will differ on its interpretation. And Allah Jalla Ala wants us to differ on its interpretation. Either it is the menstruation period or the purity period. Why Allah Jalla Ala chose this? Yeah? Why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said لا يصلي أن أحدكم العصر إلا في بني قريظة. No one should pray عصر except in بني قريظة. He should have made it more clear so the Sahaba will not differ. Yeah, but he put it in this term and he knows that the Sahaba will differ on its interpretation. So he wants the Sahaba to differ. So my dear brothers and sisters, these differences, okay, in Islam can be classified into two differences. Major differences, is the Prophet the final messenger or not? No, we cannot differ on this. Yeah? Because the scholars did not differ on this. It is very clear in the Quran and Sunnah. Full stop. The Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger. Anyone who says other than that, he is not Muslim to start with. Yeah? Allah Jalla wa'ala is the supreme being. No one can differ on this. If anyone differs on this, then he is not Muslim. Allah Jalla wa'ala created us to test us, and we will be judged on the day of resurrection. There will be a day all the khala'iq, all the creations will be gathered together, and Allah Jalla wa'ala will question them, and then Allah Jalla wa'ala will take those who obeyed him to Jannah, and those who disobeyed him to hellfire. No one can differ on this. Yeah, these are the concepts, the main concepts of Aqidah. No one can differ on them. Okay, but to pray Asr late at 3:15, yeah, or to pray Asr at 2 o'clock, yeah, to pray Fajr just half an hour before Shuruq or 1 hour before Shuruq. طيب. These are differences that are acceptable. And we mentioned the story of Al-Ma'mun last time. Yeah? طيب. Some people say, what about the differences in Aqidah? Yeah, the differences in aqeedah that are below iman and kufr. يعني not, we are not differing on whether the Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger or not. لا, we differ on whether Allah جل وعلا said لما خلقت بيدي. Allah, does Allah جل وعلا have two hands or not? Allah جل وعلا says أأمنتم من في السماء. Is Allah جل وعلا above the heavens or not? Yeah, okay. And these differences matters in related to aqeedah. We say, my dear brothers and sisters, these are differences in furu' al-aqeedah, in minor issues about aqeedah. Yeah? Okay, there is right and wrong. But we should remember that, yes, there is right and wrong, but above that, all these groups that differ on these matters, all of them are united about, all of them are united on what? The main principles of aqeedah. So, as I always do it, we have a big circle. Yeah? And this circle is the wide borders of al-Islam. These differences, some of them are a circle, yeah, big circle, but it is still within the main circle. So this is the circle of al-Islam, and these are the differences we are playing here. Whatever we play, we should not come out of the outer circle of al-Islam. The outer circle of al-Islam unites us. So before talking about our differences, let us talk about what? Our agreements. And this doesn't happen now. Okay? And خلاص. Okay. The Ash'ari tariqa, the Maturidi tariqa, the Salafi tariqa, Ahl al-Hadith tariqa, they existed from 1,000 years ago. صح? Or more than 1,000 years ago. Are we expecting to finish them? Yeah? By writing 100 books about the haqq in these matters? No. It is impossible. Do you think that a person who is whatever, he believes that, yeah, you can't say that Allah Jalla wa'ala, طيب, يعني, believes certain thing in asma' wa sifat, in the names and attributes of Allah Jalla wa'ala. He has his own heritage that goes back to what? To scholars throughout history for 1,000 years or more. Do you think that he will leave all of this and just simply you present to him dalil from Quran and Sunnah and he will abandon what he has studied? No. It's not as simple as this. Agree? Yeah? Especially these things are not that clear to everyone. It's not like, is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the final messenger or not? This is clear for everyone. Yeah? So we should learn, especially these days, we should learn to live with others who maybe have different so-called aqeedah from us. I don't call it aqeedah. These are minor branches of aqeedah. Branches of aqeedah or minor issues of aqeedah, we should learn how to live with them and be united with them. Yeah? Subhanallah, in one country, we are learning how to unite with what? With the disbelievers. Agree or not? Agree or not? The Yahud were living in Medina, صح? Yes or no? The Yahud were living in Medina. In the beginning of al-Islam, they wrote the covenant or the treaty of Medina. Some scholars say that it is weak from isnad perspective. But most of the scholars say, yes, it is weak from isnad perspective. But because of the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, yeah? Because of the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, it is authentic. Yeah? So this is like from isnad perspective is weak, But from the meaning of it, the meaning of it is authentic. طيب. In the beginning, when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, did he fight everyone? No. When the Muslims were surrounded by the Ahzab, did he send his delegates to Yahud to fulfill their promise to defend Medina with the Prophet ﷺ or not? He sent his delegate to say that, okay, go, because this is the treaty that this is our city, yeah, and we need to defend it. This is a form of unity, yes or no? Okay. He did not create any civil war. This is a form of unity. In a city, in a country, you are living together. You have no option but to have that. So the word unity is a very wide word. So don't say that he's calling for unity, then this is wrong. No. Many forms of unity have to be applied. You are living here. We are living in this country. We are categorically different from the kuffar of this country. But are we united with them on certain things or not? Yes or no? Yes or no? We are united, whether we like it or not. You might not like it, but the bigger benefit is خلاص. This is a city for all of us. طيب, if there are floods in the river, all of us will go and help. Because all of us are living there. It doesn't need يعني a دليل. It's just common sense. Agree or not? Yeah? طيب. If there is a fire that will, like the big Lander fire, okay? All of us will go and just try to extinguish that fire. Oh, you are uniting with the kuffar in Taib, putting this fire off? Come on, it's common sense. Yes? Taib? So, if Muslims are unable to grasp this concept to be united among themselves, then this is a big disaster. And that's why the young people, they have to mature themselves, brothers. We have to be matured. We have bigger challenges to be worried about. We ask Allah Jalla wa'ala to give us fiqh in al-deen, and we ask Allah Jalla wa'ala to help us to have a better understanding of our deen. Wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Questions? Yes. Yes.
Becoming doctor and stuff like that. People refer to it as secular knowledge, but since Allah has mentioned in the Quran, would it be wrong to
mention? I agree. I don't like to call it secular knowledge. The brother is saying, do we call geography, science, biology, chemistry, and so on? Is it right to call them yani secular sciences or secular topics? No. This is wrong. Actually, secular, if you call them secular topics, it means that you believe in secularism. That there is something called deen and there is something called dunya. طيب? خلاص, let us stop here, Shaykh. It is too late. طيب? Yeah. جزاك الله خير. بارك الله فيك.